definitions that you've heard in messages. One of them is to sin is to miss the mark. Sin is a transgression of the law. I tell the little kids in junior church when if I'm talking about salvation, I say, sin is anything that God doesn't like. We've all sinned before. Go over to Romans 6, another verse we know. Romans chapter 6, verse 23. Romans 6, 23 says, for the wages of sin is death. For the wages of sin is death. We don't want to forget the end of this verse, the happy ending that says, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. I love how it starts off with kind of bad news, but then that one comma separates it from the good news. The gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. If you're saved tonight, if you have Jesus in your heart and you've asked Him to forgive you of your sin and you've repented and been saved, hey, you have that free gift. You've accepted God's free gift of eternal life. And what a joy and a privilege to preach on the saving grace of Jesus Christ. What an awesome opportunity to be able to encourage lost people with that verse saying, hey, you can accept God's gift. Hey, God's holding out salvation. All you have to do is take it. I love out soul winning. When I get to talk to someone on the street corner or somebody on the basketball court and say, hey, you know what? The Lord loves you and He died for you. And this verse, the Word of God says, if you accept that gift, you'll have eternal life in heaven. Man, that's encouraging to do. I love doing that, to be able to give the good news out. But I'm not going to focus on the end of the verse tonight, as much as I'd love to, because it's very easy to preach on the gift of God, which is eternal life. I'm going to focus tonight, and it's the title of my message, on the first part of that verse that says, for the wages of sin is death. For the wages of sin is death. Donald's growing up, and I hope that you're not sick of stories about Donald Jr., because I feel like every time I preach, I mention something about my son Donald. But Donald, again, he's growing, and he's doing new things, and Donald is, he's learning how to do so much. And I guess he's just full of illustrations, that's why I talk about him so much. But Donald has, over the past couple months, started to learn new things, new words. One of his newest words, and Mrs. Bloxham told me about this Sunday, is no. He learned how to say no, and he must have learned it from us. But Donald doesn't really get what it means yet. I'll say, Donald, you know, are you being bad? No. Oh, Donald, do you want to eat today? No. Donald, are you going to be mad at me if I punch you in the head? No. He doesn't get it yet. He's learning new things. I know he'll get ready to touch something, and I'll say, you know, hey, don't. We say this, no touch, you don't do that. So he'll get close to touch something, and he used to be this. I'm telling you, he'd get ready to say, hey, don't touch that, and he'd say, oh, okay, and he wouldn't do it. Well, lately, he's testing me more. And let's just pretend that I'm Donald Jr., and he's getting ready to touch him. I say, hey, don't touch that, and he kind of looks over at me, and he's like, no, don't touch it, don't touch that pole, Donald, don't. Oh, you touch it, don't touch. You better get your hand. And he's disobeying. He's a little sinner. I love him, but he's a little sinner. Donald is learning, and he's just a little sinner. It's just the way it is. Must get it from his mother. No, I'm just kidding. He gets it from me. He gets it from me. But he's a little sinner, but you know what? He gets it from me. I a story about me when I was a kid. I wasn't a baby, but I was a young teenager, and I loved taking bike rides with my friend Joe Tharp. You know Brother Pastor Tharp, his son Joe. We were best friends growing up. And whenever I go over to Joe's house, I bring my bike, and we say, hey, can we go on a bike ride? And they let us go. Joe's parents let us go on bike rides for 8-9 hours a day. We'd go all over the place. Just have a good time, just enjoying the scenery and all whatever. Well, when I was at my house, I said, hey, Dad, can we go on a bike ride? And I wanted to go on a bike ride with Joe. And Dad said, okay, but don't go too far and don't be gone long. And so 5 hours later, after we had, you know, explored the state of Massachusetts on our bikes, I pulled up the driveway. And I did it just to spite my dad. I was annoyed that he gave me these restrictions, and it bothered me, and it made me mad that I couldn't do what I wanted to do. So I did what I wanted. I took a long bike ride. I went far away from home and drove around. I didn't have any cell phone back then, and I got back, and I almost said, you know, hey, let's go somewhere else before we go home. And my buddy said, well, we need to get drinks. So we stopped at the house, and my driveway is very steep, so we're, you know, pedaling up the hill and going side to side, getting up top, and my mother comes out the front porch with this face. And I'm like, hey, Ma, what's up? How's it going? You know, good day. Isn't it beautiful out? And she said the words that no child, no teenager ever wants to hear, ever. She said, your father's out looking for you. That was not something I wanted to hear. And I'm like, oh, no, I'm dead. I never even got to get married. I never got to have kids. I don't even get a last meal. I'm just dead. And I'll never forget my dad pulling up, and Joe went home very quickly. And I got in trouble. I messed up. I sinned. I got in trouble for not listening to my father. I was a sinner. And I know it's funny. I tell these funny stories and I make a joke about it. And hey, you know, my little Donald sinned, and then I messed up. But honestly, folks, the bottom line is this: sin is not funny. And you know my heart. If you laughed at those stories, I'm not talking to you. I'm just saying, and you know what I'm saying. Sin really is not funny. Sin isn't funny. The wages of sin is death. The wages of sin is death. The price of sin. What sin did to our Savior. The destruction that sin can bring to a life. The attitude that sin can create in a person. The broken homes that result from sin. The murders, abortion, screaming, yelling, fighting, abuse, all caused by sin. The disrespectful mindset of this generation and even my generation that sin brings. The marriages that it can destroy. No, no, sin is not funny. The wages of sin is death. Sin is what caused a 14-year-old girl named Erica to commit suicide 2 days ago in Massachusetts. Someone that a friend of, that knows. And young Erica, just this past fall, decided she wanted to change who she was. So she became Eric instead of Erica. And sin caused that young girl to kill herself. Sin is what caused a friend of mine who kept me in Bible college, gave me $1,500 to stay in Bible college. Many of you have heard that story that I've told before of how I was close to leaving college, but someone, a staff member at the college, gave me $1,500 to stay in school. Sin is what caused that man to tell his wife just a few months ago, you know what? I've been living a lie for the past 4 years. I don't really care about church. I don't really care about you guys. You know, and whatever. I'm done with this thing. Lost his wife and two little girls. Sin did that. Sin is what caused a pastor of 65 years at a church down south to commit adultery with a woman in the church and have to resign his ministry. All the years he had put into that church because of sin. Sin destroys people. Sin is what caused a married woman in a Christian singing group that I know well. Oh, beautiful voice, beautiful songs that she sung that encouraged my heart. Sin is what caused this husband and wife to decide together to agree that they were going to try other people. And they told their kids that they were going on a cruise, but instead they went to Las Vegas and lived wickedly. That's what sin does. And then to come home and the husband said, you know what, I don't think we should do this anymore. And the wife said, you know what, I want to do this. And she packed up and left. That's what sin does. Sin is not funny. The wages of sin is death. We know in that verse that it's talking about us and how sin causes us to die physically. As it's in Adam and Eve, and they sinned and they messed up and they had to die. But also sin not only physically kills us, but also it's a spiritual death as well. Sin is separation from God. So when we die in our sins without the Lord Jesus Christ's blood washing us clean, we go to hell. Sin not only physically can kill us, but it can spiritual death as well. Sin kills. The wages of sin is death. You know, sin, I thought about this message and I read that verse a few weeks ago and I thought, you know what, sin kills us physically, I know that. Because we sin, we have to die. And I tell that to the kids as I talk about salvation, the bus kids. And I say, hey, you know, because we sin, we have to die. But also spiritually. But sin kills other things as well. I just have three things tonight that sin kills. Number one, sin kills joy. Sin kills happiness. Have you ever seen a happy drug addict? Probably not. Have you ever seen a happy alcoholic? Well, maybe when they're drunk, but not the next morning when they're hungover. No. Sin kills joy. Have you ever seen a convicted felon with a smile on his face? No. As they stand there in shackles and cuffs in the courtroom, they're not smiling. And if they are, it's probably because their mind's messed up. You ever seen a husband going through a divorce or a wife happy? No, even if they say they are, they're not. Because sin kills joy. A wayward child, a child who has broken relationship with his parents and living wickedly, you see happiness there? No. Sin kills happiness. Teenager, remember this. Remember this. Sin will kill all joy that you have. I think of teenagers that I went to youth group with who just left it all, left God, left church. They're miserable. Sin kills joy. It kills happiness. I'll never forget my brother. He's going through a divorce a couple years back. And they had a son, Henri, sweet little boy, 4 years old now. And he was going to court one day with his lawyer, and they were going to court together to because she wouldn't let him see the baby, and then all this messy, you know what that was caused from? It was caused from sin, by the way. Sin did that. But we went to court, and they were gonna he was gonna try and get, you know, be able to see Henri and be able to have other people pick him up because he had to work and all this just mess. And I said, Johnny, I'll go with you. I'll go with you to court just to support you. And you know, that's what we're supposed to do. We're not supposed to turn away and shun those who are in sin. No, but to have compassion on those who are struggling, on the wayward sinner. Have compassion. You know, bus kids aren't the only ones that need compassion. Amen? Amen. They do. They're not the only ones. No, I said, you know what? I want to be there for my brother. I want to be there. He's messed up. He's made mistakes, but I love him. He's my brother, and I want to be there for him. So I went to this courthouse in Springfield. Springfield, Massachusetts is a very rough area. A lot of crime, just a big city, just a lot of problems there. I went to this courthouse with my brother, and he was there with his lawyer, and they had to leave for a moment to talk to somebody for a couple hours, and I couldn't go in with them because I wasn't part of the case or whatever. So I sat out there in the hallway of this courthouse, in this courtroom, all these different courtrooms there, and I'll tell you what I saw. I saw unhappiness. I saw misery. Oh, it opened my eyes more than anything to sit there on that bench and watch as husband, ex-husband and ex-wife would sit there and yell at each other through gritted teeth and point that finger and anger there, and there was hurtness there, and there was sin all around that room. And I said, this is what sin does. It kills joy. It kills happiness. Oh, I never forget that. What sin can do. Some of you as you sit in your pew right now, you can think of somebody in your life who is living a life filled with sin, and you know that their joy is gone. Their joy has disappeared because of sin. Oh, keep that person in your heart tonight. Let it be a reminder to you of what sin can do. Sin kills joy. Sin kills joy in Jesus. Sin kills joy. If you got a sin problem in your heart, and I'm not talking about smoking or drinking, although that could be a sin problem for someone here today, but maybe even something as minor as, and it's not minor to God, but in your eyes it may be minor, just something as a bad attitude. That's a sin problem. Maybe a critical spirit. That's a sin problem. And when you have that in your heart, unrepented, it kills your joy in Jesus. You don't care about spiritual things anymore. When you have sin in your heart and in your life, you don't care about coming to church. You sit in your pew and you listen, and the pastor gets up and preach, and we sing the songs, and you just sit there and go through the motion and go through the motions, and nothing means anything to you because sin has killed your joy in Jesus. And you say, man, church stinks, and you're the last one to get here and the first one to leave because church stinks. It's because of sin in your heart. If you sit here tonight and you say, I just can't wait till he shuts up and we can leave. Oh, you better check your heart, dear folks. Please. Sin will kill joy in Jesus. Man, that's maybe might be the reason why some of us, including myself, don't pass out more tracts or don't give the gospel out more, don't come out soul winning, because there's sin in our lives and we don't care about the lost people of Jackson, Michigan. We just don't care. That's sin. Sin will kill your joy in Jesus. Sin will kill your joy in others. It'll kill your joy in others. You're easily annoyed, maybe. Man, things bother you all the time. You can't find good in anybody. Sin will do that to your heart. It'll make you very nitpicky and very just easily annoyed at people. And man, every time someone does something, you say, oh, why'd they do that? And you get easily annoyed. Sin will do that. Sin will cause you to have a mindset of criticality, being critical of others. You can't even be happy for someone. Someone says, you know what, man, I got a promotion at my job and I got a $2,000 raise for the year. Man, praise God. And you're just saying, man, wish it could be me. Just thinking, you know, he didn't even deserve it. Man, I did. And that's what sin will do. It'll kill your joy in others. It'll kill your joy in others. You have an angry spirit. Sometimes it can even cause you to have a bitter spirit towards your pastor. Sin will do that. Pastor will get up here and say, you know, folks, the Lord's leading me to do this. And you say, why are we going to do that? Sin will do that. And let me just stop for a second and say that you have a pastor that loves you, that preaches to you, that studies for hours and hours and prays for these people, for us. And if you can sit there in your pew and nitpick at them and be critical of them and criticize them, maybe even just in your heart, oh, Lord, help you. Lord, help you. Oh, our pastor has a vision for this church and he loves us. Oh, may we build him up, lift his arms up. Oh, sin will kill joy in others. Think of Peter. Jesus said, you're going to deny me three times. He said, no, I won't. Well, what happened? He did. First person comes and says, hey, you were with Jesus, weren't you? He said, no, I wasn't with Jesus. Next person comes up and says, hey, you were one of his disciples. I remember seeing you. He goes, no, that was not me. I didn't do that. And then the third person says, Peter, I know that you were with Jesus Christ. You're one of his disciples. And he flipped out, got mad and got angry, started swearing. Oh, sin will give you that angry spirit. It'll kill your joy in others. Sin will also kill joy in yourself. I'm not talking about having pride and thinking that you're the best. But sin will kill that joy in yourself. It'll cause you to not be satisfied with yourself. I don't mean with your spiritual self. We always need to grow spiritually. But I'm talking about you look in the mirror and you don't like what you see. Say, man, I wish I looked this way. Oh, I wish I could look like that person. And you start to judge yourself and you start to look at yourself and not like yourself. And you forget that you were fearfully and wonderfully made. You're the way that God made you. Oh, God forbid that we ever look in the mirror and hate what we see. Oh, it's okay to hate the sin in our lives and say, oh, man, I need to change. But when we look at our physical appearance and say, why did God make me like this? Oh, that's what sin will do. That's what sin will do. That's what, like that young girl who killed herself just a few days ago, probably looked in the mirror and didn't like what she saw and killed herself. Sin will do that. Some of you, maybe even here tonight, are dear senior saints. Many of you have told me about certain things. Say, man, I just can't do what I used to do. Can't do what I used to do. Oh, you're the way that God wants you to be. Can I remind you of that? Oh, all of you, you're spiritual leaps and bounds ahead of me. But may I remind you that you're the way that God wants you to be. You're the way that God wants you to be, and God loves you, and you can still do great things for God, no matter how young or how old you are. Oh, may you find joy in yourself and in the way that God made you. Judas sold our Savior for 30 pieces of silver. Sinned. Didn't like what he saw. Didn't like himself, and he killed himself. Hung himself. Oh, may we not let sin kill the joy in our lives. I'm hurrying tonight, folks. Sin also kills relationships. It kills relationships. Marriages. Parents and their children, even a pastor and members, sin will kill those relationships. You say, well, I'll never let it get that bad. It's not a big deal. You know, I'm not getting along with my wife, but it's not going to get that bad. Or this, that, the other thing. It's okay. I can deal with it. I can control it. There are two brothers, Gino and Russell. They owned a wrecking company in Bridgeport, Connecticut. In 1991... a judge fined them almost $900,000 for operating an illegal dump, a place to dump trash. These two brothers, starting in 1986, 5 years earlier, They had taken all this debris from buildings and began dumping it on the empty lots surrounding their facilities. 5 years they did it. Eventually, that little mound grew to an area covering over 2 acres and 35 feet high, almost as tall as a three-story building. All this junk and garbage. And they got fined for it. The state ordered them to clean it up, but they claimed that there was no place to dump it legally in Bridgeport, and they couldn't afford to have it hauled away. The previous year, the year before they got in trouble for it, they had spent $330,000 trying to get it hauled away and taken away, and they hadn't even put a dent in it. Hadn't even put a dent in it. According to Gino, this brother, he said this, and I quote, "It was never supposed to get this high. It was never supposed to get this high." And just like that garbage, the effects of our sins have a way of accumulating beyond our plans and beyond our control. That's the way it happens, folks. It may not seem like a big deal now, but it will be a big deal. Sin kills relationships. It kills your relationship with Jesus Christ. He doesn't want to be around sin. The only time Jesus is around sin is when he's forgiving it. He doesn't want to be around our sin. Sin separates us from God. Oh, wait, sin will kill your relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. It will kill that relationship. Man, you say, well, man, I'm depressed, or my prayers aren't getting answered, or this, that, the other thing. You know, it's probably because there's sin in our hearts. That's why. Man, if I do something that made my dad unhappy as a kid, it hurt our relationship. If I disobeyed him, it hurt our relationship, and it's the same with God. Oh, when you sin against the holy God, communication can get hindered. If I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. Sin kills relationships. It kills relationship with Jesus, but it also kills relationship with other people. Your sin hurts other people. My sin can hurt other people. Man, think of someone maybe that you have a... Maybe there's someone in your life right now that you have a problem with. You have an issue with them right now. It irks you and it gets you mad. Well, think back of why do you have an issue with that person? I bet you it'll go right back to sin. It'll go right back to something that they said or did, or something that you did or said, or something that you thought. It all goes back to sin, and sin will kill your relationship with others. Sin kills joy. Sin kills relationships. Sin kills, lastly, sin kills God's plan. Whatever God's plan is, sin will destroy it. It will destroy it. It'll destroy God's plan for you personally. You won't hear God's voice clearly anymore. Sin has a way of blinding you and putting to where you don't notice anything going on, and you can't hear the voice of God any longer because you've so far into your sin and you won't know what God wants you to do. Sin kills God's plan for you. You miss out on what He has for you. Oh, I don't ever want to miss out on what God has for me. I don't ever want to miss out on opportunities that He has for me. Oh, some of you sitting here, there may be an opportunity right here at Loomis Park Baptist Church, an opportunity for you to serve God in a great way and to change lives. But you're going to miss it because of sin in your heart. Sin will kill God's plan for you, but it'll also kill God's plan for others. It'll kill God's plan for others too. Listen, if you miss out on God's will because of your sin, all those people that you could have reached are going to miss out too. Your sin affects others. It's a ripple effect. If I had decided as a younger man to fall away into sin, and to maybe not get married to my wife or whatever, I wouldn't be standing here tonight. And the Lord knows that I'm not, but the Lord has allowed us to see our youth group grow. And you know what? If I had just decided to fall into sin and let sin overtake me, I wouldn't be here tonight. And anybody that the Lord has allowed me to reach might not have been reached, because sin will kill God's plan for others. It might cause somebody else to slip. You say, you mess up and someone says, wow, so-and-so messed up. Man, that could happen to me too. Man, I don't need that anymore. You don't know what your sin can cause others to do. Sin will kill God's plan for you, and it'll kill God's plan for others. The wages of sin is death. We need to get away from our sin. Man, we hear preaching this all the time, folks. I know many of you have heard this 1,001 times, but it's just still needed. We need to get away from our sin. The more we keep doing it, the closer we are to killing our joy, our relationships, and God's plan, the more we stay in our sin and don't repent it and don't change and don't get rid of it, man, we're just feeding the flesh. We're feeding our sin nature, and it's going to grow and it's going to grow and it's going to grow. Oh, There's a special bird called the cuckoo bird. And the cuckoo bird never builds its own nest. It flies around until it sees another nest with eggs in it and no mother bird around. The cuckoo quickly lands, lays its eggs there, and flies away. The thrush, whose nest has been invaded, comes back. Not being very good at arithmetic, she gets to work hatching the eggs. What happens? Four little thrushes hatch, but one large cuckoo hatches. The cuckoo is two or three times the size of the thrushes. When Mrs. Thrush brings to the nest one large juicy worm, she finds four tiny thrush mouths and one giant cuckoo mouth. Guess who gets the worm? A full-sized thrush ends up feeding a baby cuckoo that is three times as big as it is. Over time, the bigger cuckoo gets bigger and bigger, and the little thrushes get smaller and smaller. You can always find a baby cuckoo's nest. You walk along a pathway of trees, and you'll find dead little thrushes, which the cuckoo throws out one at a time. Paul teaches us in Romans chapter 8 that spiritually speaking, we've got two natures in one nest. The nature that you go on feeding will grow, and the nature that you go on starving will diminish. If we feed our sin nature, it will continue to grow, and it will overpower us, and we'll become a servant to our sins. But thankfully, I don't want to end on a bad note saying that sin kills. Thankfully, Jesus said, I am the resurrection and the life. He is the life. When sin kills and sin brings death, Jesus is the life. And the only thing that can save us from us destroying our lives through our sin is the Lord Jesus Christ and giving Him our sin and coming to an altar and laying it right at His feet and saying, God, I can't handle it on my own. I need You to help. I need You to forgive me of this sin. Whatever it is, giving it to God will give you victory. Give you that victory that you need, whether it's a bad attitude or a critical spirit or maybe you're angry at someone even in this room or the wrong kind of music or a worldly lifestyle, whatever it is, bring it to the altar tonight and let Jesus give you victory. Don't let sin kill your joy, your relationships, or God's plan in your life. Sin kills. The wages of sin is death. Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed. We'll have a quick